What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Thursday with B&E, Show of the People. Appreciate you being with us. A lot to do. Sports weekend gets going tonight. Got four baseball games in a row. After last night's rainout in the ALCS, the Astros and Yankees, maybe four in a row. Astros have to win two. Yankees need to win three. We may end up in a game seven. Who knows? But we'll start to preview those games. Also, who got the advantage with the pitching staffs based on last night's Mother Nature situation. Also, get into the football weekend, which starts tonight in Denver with the Broncos and the Chiefs. On the way to the break, Buck, we were talking about the last time Les Miles brought a football team into DKR. Do you know what happened in that game?
I do not.
This is a fact.
Is that one of those rain games that was crazy? No, it was Missouri.
No.
Long time ago.
This is when you, and I give you credit, you glossed the term Les Miles, deer in the headlights.
Oh.
Remember that? That was a game in which Oklahoma State came in. Texas had Vince Young at quarterback, and the Oklahoma State Cowboys went to the locker room, stunning the home crowd with a 28-12 lead. 28-12 lead, and everybody in Longhorn Land. Remember, this is the year you're supposed to go do great things, right? Well, all Vince Young and the Longhorns did is come out and outscore them 35-0 in the second half and win 47-28, Texas.
And they went on a run on that
still
second half.
Still covered the spread somehow.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they were down 28-12 at the half. And, Vince Young worked his magic in the second half. Remember, he had that 81-yard touchdown run to start the second half. It came out of halftime and just did Vince stuff and was unbelievable in that second half. They outscored him 35-0. And that's the last time Les Miles has been in this building. He'll be here on, or at least to coach a football game. I don't know if he's been to football. Remember, his daughter, Les Miles, Smacker Miles,
right,
was a swimmer at Texas.
That's right.
Swimming the Texas swim program. So there you go. So that was the wow. B&E fact of the day, the last time. And we're hearing from Les coming up, trying to explain his sudden change at offensive coordinator during their bye week. And we'll get you details on that. But it's going to be a good buck off Thursday. A lot going on.
Can we go on to Coach Ken Dabbs.
Yeah, passed
Rest
away.
Oh.
Saw that story this morning. And the man who
got through talking about him yesterday and how he had gone home to hospice, and which meant that it was getting towards that time. What a cool guy Ken Dabbs was when I first came to Texas. Helped me out an awful lot. Old Coach Dabbs taught me the ins and outs of how to handle players on Sixth Street and what you had to do and who you had to know. That was my guy right there. That was his. He did an awful lot at Texas. He's in the Hall of Fame, I think.
Ken Dabbs. He didn't recruit Earl Campbell, right?
Yes.
Or was the main recruiter on Earl Campbell,
main,
which is
yeah.
good. Hey, I had my years wrong. Texas beat Oklahoma State in this building with Les Miles 56-35.
Yeah, that was a lot of points.
Yeah, I clicked on the wrong one. I clicked on 05. That was in Stillwater when they were down big and came back. They did it the year before to Les Miles. Les Miles was gone by 05. But yes, my bad. But yeah, 56-35, Texas. Yeah, but they also came back big.
Was
in that
it 28?
Game.
Were they down by? They were down by 28 at half.
No, the one in Stillwater that I was referring was the. Remember Vince Young when he did the pump fake down around the edge? That was at Stillwater. Rudy's made a commercial out of Vince,
right? You
know, the when they went on to win the national title. But the year before was 04. That was Les Miles' last trip in, and they also had a big lead at the half, and they also lost 56-35 because the horns exploded with Vince
Les
Young.
Les Miles' still the same dude, man. He's still out there.
Dude, he is a space cadet.
He is. That's kind of what he is.
Yeah, listen to this coming up. We'll have him. And we'll also hear from the Texas coordinators. We're trying to get Texas back on track against the Kansas Jayhawks, or at least they're trying to get themselves back on track. But first, let's get you the news. Pretty brief stuff in the ticket city in the update desk this morning. UBO Business Services brings you the news. We'll start with Texas football. Longhorns continue their game week prep for the Kansas Jayhawks on Saturday. After practice last night, Texas's coordinators, both of them, met the media for the first time since the loss at the Cotton Bowl to Oklahoma on Saturday. Defensive coordinator Todd Orlando weighed in on the unit's struggles with the fundamentals.
The missed tackles were glaring, so we went out on Tuesday and we addressed it. We did a whole bunch of live work, and you know, and our kids responded really well to it. You know, there's technical things, there are angle things, but things that like any fundamental or technique, we're going to rough the heck out of it until it gets resolved.
All right, well, that begins began on Tuesday. They'll play on Saturday, Texas and Kansas. Longhorns are 15th in the country, 4-2, 2-1 in Big 12 play. Les Miles and his Jayhawks 2-4, 0-3 in the conference. The autopsy report for former Longhorn running back Cedric Benson has been released, and it reveals that Benson had likely not been drinking the night he was killed, but did have a minor amount of THC or cannabis in his system at the time of an August motorcycle crash that killed him and a female passenger. Benson had a blood alcohol level of 0.02. Legal blood alcohol limit is 0.08, and according to toxicologists, the low number is more consistent with ethanol produced in the body during decomposition than alcohol consumed that night. In the NFL, Week 7 opens tonight with an AFC West battle. Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Denver to face the Broncos. Chiefs 4-2, but have lost two in a row. Broncos are 2-4, but have won their previous two games after an 0-4 start. That game kicks about 7:25 tonight. In baseball, as expected, Mother Nature, the winner for yesterday's Game 4 of the American League Championship Series. So they pushed Game 4 to tonight. It'll be Masahiro Tanaka facing Zach Greinke. Justin Verlander has been announced as the Game 5 starter for the Astros in the Bronx. And then they'd head back to Houston if necessary. Game 4 tonight, Greinke and Tanaka.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
I think it'll be a pretty interesting game tonight, Buck, and we'll make a pick on it later in Hot or Not this hour. But, you know, Chiefs sputtering. They got pushed around and beaten up by the Colts and the Texans, back-to-back games at Arrowhead.
I didn't realize they were better on the road either. They don't win games at Arrowhead. When they lose home.
Remember, they lost
it's weird.
Lost the AFC Championship game in that building last year to the Patriots in overtime. But, yeah, and look, Pat Mahomes is not 100% healthy. He's kind of limping around, and so this is one of those short week situations. And remember, the Broncos have a new coach in Vic Fangio, and they lost their first four games, but a couple of those were, remember, the Bears beat them at the gun in that weird field goal game. I mean, they were in the games for the most part in the four they lost, and now they've turned it around a 1-2 straight, including a shutout last week against the Tennessee Titans in which Marcus Mariota got benched. So Broncos come in at home feeling like, you know, can they replicate the defense that the Texans threw at and the Colts threw at them and run the ball? And, you know, Texans and Colts just punched them in the face, ran the ball, controlled the ball. Texans almost 40 minutes. So you would imagine
that's what Denver likes to do. They like to play play defense and run the football.
Yeah.
But I'll take Kansas City tonight.
You would think that they're going to find their mojo. Tyreek Hill is back, and you know, I know there's kind of a panic in Kansas City. But I'd say this for the Chiefs and Andy Reid, you got to get to the running game.
Yes.
I mean, if Pat Mahomes isn't 100%, you've got running backs. I mean, you got guys that can run the ball. You know,
even the old man can run the ball.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
Shady Mack.
He just can't run a bunch in a row.
Also, baseball tonight, you know, I had a good debate last night with a guy that's thinking, who got the advantage in this pitching situation? Because last night's game with the Yankees and Astros got rained out, and both teams were planning to go with bullpen, essentially. Like, Yankees were going to start a reliever in Chad Green and just use their bullpen as much as possible and try to get as many out, and you need 27 outs. Astros were going to start Jose Urquidy, who's not a bullpen guy, but he's been a starter. But they were going to be quick into their bullpen if they needed to be in that game.
Are you good with this decision? Like, for what Hitch is rolling out for the rotation?
Yeah. I mean, for Greinke?
Well, not just Greinke. I mean, I think with this, you got to save Cole for Game 7 now, right?
Well, the Astros.
Well, he'll be on short rest. If the Yankees can find a way to beat Greinke, which I'm glad he's going to pitch, that means the Yankees will have to beat Verlander. If they beat Verlander, then that's where the problem begins, because will Cole still be on short rest?
He would
there?
On Saturday, right. Not on Sunday.
Yeah,
but the Astros are
resting on Sunday. Yeah.
I mean, it's fair to say that AJ Hinch, now up 2-1, is trying to avoid Game 7.
In other words, you have to beat Verlander. You have to beat Verlander. If they don't beat Verlander, it doesn't matter. They're
right.
It's over.
And Verlander would be on full rest on Friday.
Yeah, they have to beat him.
And Greinke's on full rest tonight.
And I'm glad. That's fine.
So, I mean, I'm fine with it, because what gives you a better chance to win this game, Jose Urquidy or Zach Greinke?
Greinke.
So you put Greinke on the mound. I mean, you put your best on the mound in this spot. It's kind of like going for two. You don't chase the points. You don't put Jose Urquidy on the mound until you absolutely have to, and that could be game six back at home.
Pretty simple. If you don't beat Verlander, you don't win.
And you still have to beat Cole. At this point, because the Astros are up 2-1, you've got to beat both of those guys if you're going to win the series.
Right.
Yeah,
you now
I just
know
saw
that.
Hinch was catching some flack for it. I didn't understand why.
I don't know. Because he's in the advantage, and he could start Urquidy tonight.
Right.
Save Greinke for game five on Friday. And then whatever happens, you could have, you know, Verlander and Cole set up for game six and seven in Houston on Saturday and Sunday.
Or you could save Greinke. He can come out of the bullpen guy for Cole if Cole in Game 7.
But I'm of the opinion that the rainout helped the Yankees more, because the Yankees,
I believe that,
because the Yankees had used their bullpen so much in the first three games. If they were going to go all bullpen last night, which was the plan,
but this is what they do.
They might have been shot,
but they are used to it. That's what they do.
I know, but
that's how they live.
But remember, postseason innings are high pressure innings. These are high leverage outs. Every out is pressure. It's a different animal than the regular season. And look, the more the Astros get to see those relievers, the more familiar they are with what they're doing and how they're trying to attack them. I mean, that's the beauty of a reliever. You only see a guy one time. Well, the Astros were going to be in a spot last night. We've already seen Chad Green twice. We've seen these guys. Ottavino has not pitched well. So I felt like, you know, Verchiti could hold in. But at the same time, either way, it's baseball. They made the decision. It'll be Greinke and Tanaka, who was brilliant in Game 1. He'll get the ball. And now it's four straight days. They're going to actually play Friday night and travel and play Saturday night if they have to.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just all comes down to it. I think they beat Greinke because his playoff deal is not – I'd rather see him on the mound versus Tanaka tonight. Because the deal is, if you don't beat Verlander, you ain't winning.
Yeah, well, that's just the way it goes. About where they are.
But Greinke wasn't bad last time out.
No, he wasn't at all.
Only allowed three, right?
He's not
three runs.
Pressure pitcher guy for me.
His postseason splits are not good.
No.
He has not been great in the postseason. But he gives you a better chance to win from the Astros side than Jose Urquidy does.
For sure.
So you go with him, and you hope you get a great start out of Zach Greinke, who, again, Wags is right. He wasn't bad on Saturday night. He made two bad pitches to Gleyber Torres. One he hit for a home run, mm-hmm. and one he hit for a double. And pretty silly to make throw right down the middle to their best hitter, and hopefully avoids that tonight. But remember, he went 9 up and 9 down to start the game.
No support.
And didn't get much run support, because when the Astros never scared a run against Tanaka.
And they don't support him like they do those other dudes for some odd reason.
They have. I mean, Verlander's been the one that has been begging for runs in most of his starts this year. So we'll see. It starts tonight, four straight days of baseball in the American League Championship Series, if necessary. Let's dive into the Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, so how about we have a little football, but let me mention this. Yankees, this is a text. It says the Yankees' high-leverage relievers have not pitched more than 3 days in a row all season. For the Yankees to win the series in 7, they may have to pitch 4 days in a row, which is huge advantage Houston, in my opinion. That's a good way to put it. Houston feels good about where they are. I think that's fair to say. And if you had told A.J. Hinch to start the series, we're going to play 3 games in 3 days, and you're going to have Greinke, Verlander, and Cole ready
yes.
to go, I think you'd feel pretty good about that.
Absolutely.
To try to win 2 games. Two of those you'll be at home as well. I think you feel good. But look, in an ideal world, if you're A.J. Hinch, you're trying to avoid Game 7, win this thing in 5 or 6, and guess what? You can put Gerrit Cole on the mound in Game 1 against the Nationals to start the World Series, which would put you in a good spot, because then Cole could theoretically pitch three times in the World Series.
I understand.
Over Scherzer?
Because it feels like you've won a championship if you beat the Yankees. I got that part.
I know about that. You know what I mean? They beat him 2 years ago, so that would be like 2 championships then. And I do think this is the World Series, because I do like the Nationals, and they do have a great pitching staff, but I think either team in this series superior to the total roster of the Washington Nationals. Okay, so football. We'll hear from the Texas coordinators coming up. Todd Orlando, Tim Beck trying to pick up the pieces from the Cotton Bowl, but you know, Monday was Columbus Day.
It's
been called like Indigenous Peoples Day.
Vagabond Day or something. Isn't that what it's called?
Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, Indigenous People Day.
So whenever Columbus Day comes around, especially when you're playing a team coached by Les Miles, you have to go back to when he was still the head coach at LSU and play this piece. This was Les Miles, a Columbus Day several years ago, opening up his game week news conference on a Monday. Les Miles back at LSU.
Remind everybody that it's Columbus Day, that all those of you that know Italians and like Italians are the people that might venture onto a ship and travel to explore and find new lands. This is your day. So it's not St. Paddy's Day. That's a different day entirely.
Gosh.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Like, that was unsolicited, keep in mind. That was how he opened his press conference. And where did the St. Patrick's Day thing come from? Did anybody ask him if it was St. Patrick's Day?
I kind of know how his mind works. I feel the same way at
Columbus
times.
Columbus wasn't Italian.
Come on out of there.
Give that to me again. Yeah, Columbus was, yeah, exactly.
Remind everybody that it's Columbus Day, that all those of you that know Italians and like Italians are the people that might venture onto a ship and travel to explore and find new lands. This is your day.
This is your day.
You mean like
it's not St. Paddy's Day.
Not St. Paddy's Day.
That's a different day entirely.
Thank you.
You mean like take a trip to Alaska if you want to explore and get on a boat and just explore Alaska or
it
something?
It is not the medication.
No, it's not. It's him. That's his mind.
Oh, my goodness. Unreal. So good. Okay, so gotta get some more less miles in your life because Texas is playing Kansas. So right out of their bye week, right after they lost to Oklahoma 2 weeks ago, Kansas, of course, fired their offensive coordinator, Les Koenig, right? And Les Koenig, you got to remember, wasn't their first choice because they had hired Clint Stanley? The guy that ended up becoming the head coach at Troy was the original offensive coordinator for Les Miles, and then he left to take the head coaching job at Troy. So it was Les Koenig that they hired. Through the first four games, they were 2-4, and the offense was only at 22 points per game. So they fired the 60-year-old Les Koenig, and they've promoted Brent Dierman, I should say, 34-year-old, who is this innovative guy who was an analyst at Auburn for Gus Malzahn. He was an analyst for Kansas to start with, and now he's calling plays, and he's been promoted from that role, right? That seems pretty significant to go from analyst to offensive coordinator. So here is the media in Kansas. Do we have this, Wags, trying to get to the bottom? Because this is the first time on Monday, was the first time the media got to ask Les Miles about this decision. And here's the first try to get Les to explain why you fired Les Koenig to go with the guy who's was an analyst.
Hey, Les, after Chip did leave you guys, was there consideration to just giving Brent a shot at offensive coordinator right then?
I don't want to kind of continue to go over what happened, what seems to be a year ago. We hired the best guy that we felt like that could put us in position to win. And then we turned to Dierman. So I think it's going to work out really well.
There you go. All right. Let's have another
one. Did he answer any of the
No. There's still a question hanging out there.
This
is the Kansas media. This isn't even about Bill Self and basketball. This is about football. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what happened? What are we doing? We're promoting an analyst to offensive coordinator.
I wanted to hit on the change at OC again. With Koenig, what exactly was not working out?
Nothing. Nothing was not working out. It just felt like there was an opportunity to be better.
But it wasn't like nothing was working out. I mean, it was working okay. And
so you fired him.
Then we played OU, and OU put like 50 on us.
Something clearly wasn't working because you fired the guy. 6 games into his tenure as your offensive coordinator. One last one, because it's fun to hear Les Miles.
How different will it look on Saturday to fans and people that are watching? Will it be pretty noticeable?
Yeah, I think there's some similarities and some dissimilarities. So, I don't know if they'll find it unusually different, but I don't think that they'll. I think it'll look hopefully more successful.
There you go. You got
to feel good. Dude, if that dude was in my house trying to get my kid to come to that school, I'd be like, get out. I mean, seriously.
You're feeling confident now, are you?
I'd be like, if that guy's trying to explain to your son and trying to explain to your mom and dad, and he's sitting there and he's trying to explain the curriculum of Kansas, would you
hopefully more successful?
I'd be like, get out of here. How does he do that? How does he communicate like that?
I don't.
Coaches like?
I don't even know if you can call that communication. Actually,
it sounds like he's like 9.
All right, let's hear from the Texas coordinators here. Are they explaining things clearly?
These guys are really smart.
Yeah, let's hear from Tim Beck on the 9 sacks. 9 sacks allowed by
can't
the
wait
Longhorns
to hear that.
On Saturday at the Cotton Bowl.
It's hard to explain, right? I mean, it's a combination of, we got to get better at Sam's got to get rid of the ball faster, or we got to handle the twist game better, or the back didn't hear the call and he's got to pick up his blitz guy better, and I mean, like, all of those type of things that each time it was, like, something different.
All right, can you go Les Miles and then go to this? Because there's some real similarities in his explanations, by the way. I think Les sounds better.
What about
Les is more.
Tim Beck on drop balls?
Okay.
Drop balls. They dropped a lot of passes.
I think most of the time our guys are going to make that play. That's all. And they didn't. And some were tough catches and – we didn't win the 50-50 balls like we normally have in the past, especially in that game. Last year, last couple times we played those guys on the 50-50 balls, we won them. We didn't this time.
That's better. That's much better than the first one. The first one was Les Miles-like.
What about the slow starts for Texas?
Slow starts.
They've been getting off to slow starts for a little bit here. Here's Tim Beck.
I don't know if it's something that the guys are waiting for somebody to make a play, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's go. Or, you know, I'm not sure why that's happened. You know, it's something we addressed that I think early in the first, I don't know, three, four games, I think we scored on the first possession every time we had the ball, and then all of a sudden we hadn't. And we've got to do a better job, A, doing our job, number one. Number two, make a play. Like, somebody's got to make a play instead of waiting for somebody to make a play.
You know what? How about taking a chair and bringing it over one of those new lockers with the TV set or something before the game starts?
Maybe.
Take a chair and slam it.
Or, look, this is just novice. I mean, Tim Beck knows a lot more football than I do, for sure.
Oh, no.
But when I watch them, when number two's a running back, they seem to move the ball better than when
real quick,
when someone
in a hurry.
Maybe start him? Maybe put him in the game at the beginning. Here's Tim Beck on Roschon Johnson.
One of the things we've talked to him about, I know Stan did, just kind of finishing runs a little bit. I think he's done a good job of getting to the second level. But it's, you know, if there's two guys, if there's one guy, how do I attack that guy or make that guy miss?
You got a running back coach. He's supposed to be able to teach him that. He's supposed to help him. Give me more or less miles and more of that. I think less miles.
Now, I'd like to deviate from that.
Less miles ain't so bad now.
And by the way, coming up, we'll find this because at the press conference Monday, Les Miles was asked if he had any words for people on this Columbus Day, because it was also Columbus Day.
You mean the non-Italian guy, Columbus?
Yeah.
Who is Italian?
Columbus, he is Italian. Columbus
yeah,
is Italian.
He is.
But
I thought he was Portuguese.
No, well, the Spanish paid for, funded the trip, but Columbus is Italian.
Right, yes. But I've always thought this whole time that Columbus was Portuguese.
Did you? Less? Yeah. Did you, Less?
Did you, Less?
Yeah.
Start calling you Less.
Start
calling you Less, Wags.
New nickname, Less.
Yeah. Come on, man. All right, well, there you go. There's a little fun, a little hijinks in our coach's corner. Always good to hear Les. And we will hear, because one of the media members in Kansas did ask Les, hey, do you have any words for Columbus Day based on your previous thing?
No.
And we'll let you hear what Les had to say. Also, hot or not for the end of the hour, good stuff coming in on the Astros and Yankees. Also, the football tonight, Chiefs and Broncos. We will preview. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, thanks to CB on Twitter for getting the fact of the day right, because I got it wrong. Fuck off to me. Last time Les Miles coached in DKR, it was the biggest comeback in Texas history. Texas down 35-7 at the half. Exploded for a 56-35 win.
28 points, right?
Yeah, sure then then the next year in Stillwater, Oklahoma State with Mike Gundy at the helm, I believe. Was that the Gundy transition from Miles to Gundy? I think it was. I don't know. I'll check that. But
yeah,
then,
before they start bringing their own officials to games.
Well, yeah. So in 05, when Texas won the national title, Texas went to Stillwater. We're down 28-12 at the half and roared back to win at 48-28 or 47-28. This one was Texas was down 35-7 at the half. Texas was sleepwalking through the first half and then exploded. 49 unanswered points. Last time Les Miles was here. Texas trying to turn the page from the Oklahoma situation. The Oklahoma beatdown. We also are going to have some fun. I told you I'd find the Les Miles because remember this? We played it earlier. Columbus Day was Monday, or Indigenous Peoples Day, or Founders Day, as they called it at my kids' school.
Columbus Day.
So Les Miles famously with this quote from social media that on a Columbus Day years past.
Remind everybody that it's Columbus Day, that all those of you that know Italians and like Italians are the people that might venture onto a ship and travel to explore and find new lands. This is your day. So,
you're right, it is.
It's not St. Patty's Day. That's a different day entirely.
Yeah, we got that part, Les.
I still don't get it, but buddy of mine texted and said that was a slap at the Irish because Irish and Italians didn't get along and used to have a rivalry.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, but either way. Well, so in a funny way, a reporter at Kansas this week asked Les because Monday was Columbus Day. And so, you know, let's have some fun with Les, see if he's willing to have some fun about the comments he made several years ago that went viral.
I also wanted to ask you, you have, from social media, a very famous quote about Columbus Day. I don't know if you had anything else to say about Columbus Day today.
Well, I can tell you again that it's a favorite day of Italians because Columbus certainly was Italian. Magellan was Italian. There was a lot of Italians that enjoy Columbus Day. And again, to paraphrase a quote from a wise old coach, this is not St. Paddy's Day. This is an entirely different day altogether. St. Paddy's Day is generally more festive, though, and celebrated with green, which green is just the only color that we don't have. So
that was Monday.
How much money does that guy make?
I don't know. I don't know. They're trying to get him to explain this offensive coordinator switch, where he found this kid, Brent Dierman, who's 34, is going to be calling plays on Saturday night. He can't explain that real well.
I'd like to hear Tim Beck in his first.
Well, I knew I'd like to hear if I'm the coach of Kansas. Remember the kid from yesterday? Do we have him?
Yeah.
When I saw Cole get it,
that's what you need.
I want to see all of you do that. Because if you do that, you're determinated to the game.
Determinated.
I'm not saying be one person, be you. But also have passion. Be determined. Be this team. Be a maverick. And when we get on that field, let's show the Cisco Lobos how to be a maverick.
There it is.
Let's show them.
Let's show them.
Be the ball, Billy. Be the ball.
So whether it's Tim Beck or Les Miles, we need more of that. We need some more of that.
I need
right
more of
there.
That kid explaining what's going on in Osu. My goodness.
Here's a text that puts it together. Says, "I am confused.
Man,
so confused." Who's not? Can you imagine if that was your coach? Like if you're a player and you're sitting there, what in the world is going on with this?
Speech before the game? My goodness.
Well, remember when we were at Big 12 Media Days in July, we thought maybe he was like on pain meds or something.
Well, Tim Beck trying to explain, you know, we get the 50-50 balls, we had some drops. If I'm the offensive coordinator, I'd be like, we're dropping the damn ball all over the damn place. Got to make catches. These guys have been playing football all their lives on the offensive line. They can't pick up simple twist. But he's trying to explain it to us like philosophical about it. I mean, I'd be pissed. Yeah, it's simple blitzes. Simple twist.
Can we have Tim Beck again upon request of trying to explain the 9-sack performance by his offense against Kansas or against Oklahoma?
It's hard to explain, right? I mean, it's a combination of, we got to get better at Sam's got to get rid of the ball faster, or we got to handle the twist game better, or the back didn't hear the call and he's got to pick up his blitz guy better. And I mean, like, all of those type of things that each time it was like something different.
Now, I'd like to deviate.
Yeah, let's deviate to some other buck.
It's not like you. It's not like it was that simple, Coach. You had like 8 things go wrong. It's not simple. There was a lot of things that went wrong when he got sacked 9 times. A lot.
Didn't play well. Didn't play well up front. Right side of the offensive line was exposed a little bit by the athletic Oklahoma front. And there we go. There's some Texas football.
Mm.
It's part of a pretty good weekend of college football. I mean, the Longhorn game, who knows? It's a 21-22 point line, whether that matters or not. You know, I was looking at it. Texas has flirted with the line in every game this season. Like the game, the Vegas line, whether this matters to anybody or not, in all of their 6 games, it's come down to the last 2 minutes, whether it was going to be a cover or a not cover. Every single game.
Hey,
this year.
It's not about being a champion. It's about covering.
Well, they haven't covered all of them. They didn't cover the Oak State game. Remember, they were covering, and then Oklahoma State scored the late touchdown. So they didn't.
Oh, the 2 passes, the touchdown in the corner?
Yeah.
Why do I remember certain things in a game for some odd reason?
Remember the Rice game? They were covering, and then they weren't covering, and then the kickoff return.
And I went to bed.
And then the kickoff return.
I woke up in the morning, and they covered.
Yeah. And this game, that's been every game. The LSU game, they covered late.
This is not for me.
It's just for fun. It's just for entertainment purposes.
Yes, that's all.
Just
come on now.
But so, Buck, outside of the game at DKR, what is your favorite game of the college football weekend? What's your most? I mean, you got Michigan and Penn State.
I think that's a huge game for. I think it's a huge game for it to find out if Penn State really is for real.
They
and it's an important
be.
Game for the coach in Michigan more than anything.
Yeah, this is and Michigan. Jim Harbaugh has gotten owned by Ohio State, but he's owned Penn State,
right?
Since he's been at Michigan. Keep that in mind when you're making your picks this week. But yeah, that's a monster game in college football. Well, certainly in the Big Ten, because you're right about Penn State. People are looking at Penn State thinking, okay, we got Wisconsin and Ohio State. They look like the best two teams in the Big Ten. But if they were to beat Michigan tomorrow, or Saturday, I should say, I'm already to Friday, thank you. You know, that game is a night game, 6:30 kick. It'll be a whiteout, I would imagine, at Penn State.
It is.
Then all of a sudden, Penn State 7-0, and you're talking about Penn State as a legitimate threat in the Big Ten. Because remember, Ohio State has to play Penn State the week before Michigan. That is such a weird quirk of the schedule in the Big Ten.
Are you worried as a Buckeye guy? Are you worried a little bit about that stupid Friday game tomorrow at Northwestern?
No.
With Ohio, you know what happens to them once a year. You know they get a little bored.
That won't be it.
In my opinion.
This team, too talented. Northwestern's what, 1-4? 1-4? This is not the Northwestern that played in the Big Ten championship game a year ago.
No, it is not.
And there's one team in America that is top five in offense and defense. And that's the Ohio State Buckeyes.
And I'll just say this. I don't
think their defense, it's hard to score on them, obviously, and they score a lot of points. So
yeah,
I would take
and a blowout. When you lose guys like Saquon Barkley and the quarterback that Penn State has, and all of a sudden you come right back.
Yeah.
And the running back Sanders that ended up going to Philadelphia. And the following year, you bring a freshman in. This guy is a stud.
Stud.
And his quarterback is really good. And they have some defensive players. James Franklin has got what Tom Herman should be getting to now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So he's a couple years further in than Tom Herman.
He should be.
Because he was hired the same year Charlie Strong was hired. So he's, you know, five, six
and,
years
and year in, year out, guess what they've been trying to do? Get rid of James Franklin at Penn State, in a way.
The life of a coach, I guess.
Yes.
But how about South Carolina after upsetting Georgia and screwing up the hedges in Athens? They get to host Florida.
I don't like that for South Carolina. Their dudes are still celebrating.
Well, but Florida's—they played Auburn, then they went to LSU, and now they're having to go to South Carolina. That's a tough stretch for Dan Mullen's team. Also, the two of the biggest games in the country this week are out west, where Utah hosts Arizona State. Herm Edwards and his team, both teams are 5-1, and you also have Oregon, who since they lost at the gun to Auburn. In Jerry World to start the season have not lost, and they've been dominant.
This is a big game.
And they play Washington in Seattle.
Big game from Herm because you play to win the game, and at 5-1, you become 6-1 and knock that out. You're in the Pac-12 race.
For sure, and that's a huge game. But the one that I think is of more import nationally is Oregon at Washington, because I said Oregon, since they lost right at the end to Auburn, they haven't lost, and they've been dominant in their games. They've been really, really good. If Oregon runs the table, they will be able to make a strong claim that, look, our one loss was an SEC team, and we dominated the game for three quarters. We lost it at the buzzer.
They need Auburn to keep winning.
And they need Auburn to keep winning. That is correct.
The other big game right here in our state is SMU playing Temple. Temple's not bad. That's a big game for SMU to keep
upset
that.
Upset alert.
They only lost one game.
Uh-oh, don't say that.
Upset alert.
Temple's only lost one.
SMU is coming off the bye week, but upset alert at Ponyland. I'm putting him on upset alert.
Not against Shane Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi.
I don't know.
How about, I think the most intriguing game in the Big 12 is Baylor at Oklahoma State.
I do too.
Because Oklahoma State is 4-2. They finally got a bye week. They played six straight weeks and looked tired in their game at Texas Tech
they
2 weeks ago.
They certainly did.
And then Baylor is 6-0. They survived the overtime game with Texas Tech last week.
Charlie Brewer's banged up in that.
By the way,
He's always banged up.
Did you see what's going on in Lubbock with Texas Tech athletic director Kirby Hokut?
He paid that money. He doesn't care.
He was reprimanded by the league.
25 G's.
Because he told the media on Sunday that he was told by the Big 12 that they screwed up the call. Now, the Big 12 didn't come out and say, hey, we screwed up the call. Kirby Hokut said he was told by league officials that, yeah, we screwed up that butt fumble thing that should have been your ball. Y'all should have won. Well, he went out and said that. To which the league came back and fined him and reprimanded him.
$25,000. And then, he doesn't care.
And then he went to Twitter with something along the lines of, transparency is the important thing here. Transparency is better than not. You guys should admit that you screwed this thing up. That would be the better. We're not going to get the win anyhow. But now you're going to fine me because my fan base is mad. And I said, yeah, that was a mistake.
And he didn't care about the money. He said, that's okay.
I'm
just going to tell you what happened.
Well, he's right. I'm on his side of that deal. But so Baylor then has to travel out to Stillwater to face Chuba Hubbard and that Oklahoma State Cowboys team. The other game, Texas Tech, Iowa State, really intriguing. Iowa State at 4-2 in Lubbock to face the Red Raiders. So there's
mentally, how is Texas Tech going to be after what just happened to them?
I know, three overtimes. They're second consecutive ranked team, but at least they're back home, and they're actually a 7-point underdog at home to Iowa State.
They'll either be really, really mad or or that'll start
well,
to
quietly because everybody's talking about the bad call. Jet Duffy's playing really well for them at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he put up 350 some yards on Baylor. TCU is at Kansas as well. It's part of your Big 12 slate. We'll come back when we do. It's Hot or Not. Your thoughts on those topics, the big games of the college football weekend, Les Miles and the Jayhawks. And if you want to weigh in on Columbus Day and how it relates to St. Patrick's Day, you certainly can do that. And I like how Les said, you know, green, we just don't have the green. We don't have that's a green, was not the
it's
color.
Green here. Thing?
I don't get it. It's fading.
What's hot? And what's not?
Altstadt Beer, the premium German beer brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country, Fredericksburg, Texas. Ask for Altstadt wherever you buy beer. No impurities, no regrets. It's Altstadt Beer.
Hot or not, every morning, just before 8 o'clock, Adam Wagner will lead us through it. A couple of hot topics. How about, well, the weather's phenomenal. It's beautiful outside. Going to be a beautiful sunrise. Temperatures in the 50s. It'll rise to about 75 and sunny. Perfect day this 17th of October. We'll certainly take that. Also, good on the hot side, we will give away some Texas-Kansas tickets coming up next hour. Your chance to be at the game, courtesy of us. So be listening. We'll tell you how you can do that. That's a good thing. Also, according to folks out of Lubbock, we talked about the Kirby Hocut story. A former Tech chancellor has set up a GoFundMe account, and they're raising money in Lubbock to pay Kirby Hokut's $25,000 fine.
They'll get it.
So
they'll
cover,
close to it.
They'll cover that. One of those big oil dudes will say, yeah, I'll cut a check for that deal.
Yep.
Kirby won't be out any money. But you know who is out money? LeBron James.
Sorry about that, LeBron.
Details emerging of LeBron's angst in China. That
China.
Yeah. According to a reporter named Dave McMenamin. Say that 10 times fast. He was in China with the team with the teams and covering it for ESPN. And one of the reasons LeBron James and his teammates were so frustrated with Daryl Morey's tweet, McMenamin noted that Nike sales had begun surging in China prior to the flap. And James has a lifetime contract with Nike that is reportedly valued in the ballpark of $1 billion. And he also had a bunch of business meetings he was
billions
scheduled to have
and billions.
While he was there, according to Dave McMenamin. He was going to meet with a bunch of industry types and get some deals done. He had planned to do it this summer instead of on this trip, but he skipped it because he had to film Space Jam 2.
Well, of course, because he didn't play during the season.
Right.
He took the season off.
So when Daryl Morey's tweet went out, all of his business meetings got canceled and his shoes stopped selling. And maybe the worst of them, his teammate Kyle Kuzma lost out on a $1 million appearance fee.
Oh. Great cash, homie.
Probably for some more Nike Shoesma for Kuzma. He lost that on a contract.
Dang you, Daryl Morey. You know, standing for what's right. Standing for freedom and democracy.
It's all the bottom line.
Where's my money? Remember,
it's all bottom line.
You know, LeBron James has said he wants to be Warren Buffett. He wants to be a billionaire, a multi-billionaire. He wants to be like his guy Warren. What about you, Wags? What do you have?
Thank you, gentlemen. October 17th, National Edge Day.
Don't know what
that
is.
Sure what that means.
Does that mean edging?
Like the edge of this table?
Like edging your yard?
Yeah, like edging. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's.
Or National On Edge.
Landscaping or.
On Edge Day.
On Edge Day. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah. It's usually every day on track.
On Edge Day.
On Edge Day, yeah. Okay.
It's also National Mulligan Day. So pick it up.
I'm going to go ahead and give Texas a mulligan at the Cotton Bowl. I know people get mad at me for that, but I still think they can be a good team and rematch with Oklahoma in about 6 weeks.
All right, the Texas Cheaters, we take our mulligan on the first tee. You hit two balls. Everybody gets a chance to hit two balls.
Well, you hit till you're happy?
No, we don't play hit till you're happy. You hit two balls, and after your second ball, if it's not in play, you go to the worst ball that's in the fairway and start your round.
So you're guaranteed to have a good opening shot.
Well, it depends on how far somebody's ball gets to the fairway. If you have a
often they use your ball.
Never. That really is not nice there, Les Miles. But no, I don't recall them ever using my ball. In like 18 years of golf with these people, I've never come off the first tee where they said, "We stink, let's go to Bucky's ball." No.
To me, those balls are perfect.
I've never, no.
It's also national.
That's very sad. I'm very saddened by you saying that.
I'm
too.
Sorry.
I hit the long
sad.
One, huh?
No, yeah. No. That hurts a lot.
Also, National Pasta Day. You guys big pasta eaters?
I love it, but I try not to. Carbs are bad. I'm trying to lay off the carbs, but it's enticing because it's good.
Linguine, my favorite pasta.
I'm getting into it because at my new favorite store, Sprouts, has now got those self-made, you know, those dinners, lots of pasta, a little
they have
chicken
like that
on the top.
Phony pasta?
$5, $6, a whole dinner.
You know, they have those like fake pastas. I don't know if any of them are any good.
No, they're
like,
delicious.
But what are they made of?
Pasta. Like
okay,
real
then
stuff.
It's real pasta.
It's real pasta with real chicken.
Well, they
and
for,
peso,
for
what is it?
That are trying
peso or whatever. What's it called?
Pesto.
Pesto on top. Oh,
peso,
man.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos. Pesto. Pesto sauce.
The real Italians, yes.
Linguine with a little bit of Italian on there if you want to get on that boat.
Yeah, you're all over it. But they make, for people that are like on the keto diet or trying to stay low carb, they've like manufactured some type of, I don't even know what it is, some type of pasta that's not really pasta, but it tastes like pasta. I don't know what it is.
I don't even know how it's, yeah.
Don't look up edging in the Urban Dictionary, which now we have to look it up.
No, you just do that to us, CB. Yeah. Don't look up edging on Urban Dictionary.
I'm pretty big on this one. National Get Smart About Your Credit Day.
Yeah. Well, we're about to be there. That's good. We're looking to get there at the Hogan House for sure with this house
sale. For baseball gents, we got game 4, Astros, Yankees. You guys like the pinstripes or you like the Strohs? No homerism here, boys.
Well,
of course,
I
like
who I'm picking.
Grinky. Gas can Grinky. Well, bring him on.
Well, and I'll say this for the Astros side, to remove the homer cap. Tanaka is kryptonite for the Astros because the Astros are great fastball hitters. They like power. They like octane. They can hit it. You saw it in game 1. They don't like Tanaka and his, you know, gyro ball or whatever he's throwing. I bet you go back and watch his start in game 1. He didn't throw any balls in that box you see on television.
Yeah, he left it out.
Everything would start in the box and dive, and the Astros were swinging. We'll see if they can be more disciplined tonight. If they can, they can hit him. But Tanaka's got that great split finger, man. It is a really tough pitch to lay off. Grinke has not been a great postseason pitcher, so at this moment,
I'd be interesting to see if Tanaka can do a back-to-back.
Well,
starts,
he's a big game pitcher. He's a big game pitcher, and he's been great. His postseason stats are, you know, Gerrit Cole's getting all the credit. If you go back to game 1 and look at what Tanaka's done in his postseason career, he has been a big game stud. So at this moment, I'd have to favor the Yankees.
And Tanaka's the guy who flew over when they signed him
on his own jumbo
747.
Yeah, for
with
he
the
and
dog
his family.
And the dog and stuff.
Yeah.
Just them.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I mean, at this portion of the series, they're all must wins for the Pinstripes, but this one tonight.
Yeah, because you
got to have.
This is a favorable pitching matchup.
You can't go back
3-1. Yeah,
this
might be the last of their favorable pitching matchups. But you know what? Zach Greinke's got it in him to throw a gem. I mean, he really does. If he's got his good stuff, but he has not been a great postseason pitcher. So right now, I pick the Yankees. A good one.
I believe the Astros have the upper hand because if you have to beat, it's not that you have to use them up. You have to beat. It's going to be hard to beat Cole in a game 7. If he's well-rested, I don't think the Yankees can beat him. But
there are some Astro fans wondering if Verlander should get the ball in game 5, which, you know, Verlander's staying in he's going to pitch game 5. He'll pitch
You have to beat him.
Friday night.
There's no doubt. You have to beat him. That's tough.
The Astros are trying to end this thing now. They're trying to get this thing with Greinke, Verlander, and then you have Cole for the World Series to start it. But obviously the Yankees have other ideas, and we'll see tonight. First of 4 straight games, if necessary. And that one, real quick, what about the Chiefs and Broncos?
I like the Chiefs tonight. It's not a unit play, but I like the Chiefs.
You know, the Vegas, they know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yeah.
The line's just 3.
I think they're off a little bit on this one, though.
Denver getting 3, by the way.
Thursday night football, it's a lot of high-powered offense here, usually in Thursday night games. I like the Chiefs by a lot.
All right. Well, Denver's pretty good at home. Denver's pretty good at home.
Unit play.
And that high-powered offense for the Chiefs has not been so high-powered the last couple of weeks. So we'll see in Denver tonight, line 3 in favor of the Chiefs. We'll be back when we do a reset those headlines, including the autopsy report is in on Cedric Benson. We'll let you weigh in on that. Also, more on the Longhorns trying to turn the page from Oklahoma to Kansas on B&E.